Hello, church. Hope you're all doing well. I want to welcome our Springboro campus and our Northmont campus. If you're a guest, we are one church in three locations, actually four venues, but three locations. So we're so glad to have all of you here with us today as we worship. My name is, if you've just come in the last 2 weeks, my name is David Smith, one of the pastors on staff here. And we married off one of our sons. Our oldest son is married, so one down, three to go. So we're grateful for that. We had a little vacation time. We drove down to Florida. Many of you know, if you've been around Fairhaven any length of time, we chased the sun. So we went down to Florida and had a great time there. It rained the entire time, but we had a great time indoors playing games and doing all kinds of things together as a family. And so it was really great. A little odd not having our oldest son and our daughter-in-law, but it was fun nonetheless to have some breaks. So thank you, church, for letting us take a little bit of a vacation. We're ending this series called Exposed as we have been finding truth in the middle of turmoil. And as we've been going through this series, you've been hearing a variety of different stories from the pastoral staff as they've been sharing some things about their lives, some things that have happened in their lives. And hopefully what you've taken out of this series is a couple things. Number one is that we as staff, we walk through the same exact things that you do. We deal with family and issues and finances and extended family and all kinds of things and, you know, health and all kinds of things in our lives. And we wanted to just connect with you at that level. But secondly, more importantly, in this series, what we've really tried to do is expose God. Because this series is really not about the stories that you've heard, although the stories are interesting and you can connect with them in at some level, knowing that all of us grow through trials and have turmoils in our lives and situations that we deal with that we didn't see coming. I mean, when it comes to suffering and pain, it's an all skate, right? Everybody gets to skate. Remember the 80s? Everybody gets to skate on this one. And so as we end this series, what we're going to be talking about today are principles that whether you're going through a situation or circumstance in your life, or whether you'll be going through a situation or circumstance in your life, or if you have been through one, then this is for you. These principles are for you. But really, it's about God. And in this series, what we've hoped to do is really expose God. Here is the foundational principle. Typically, in the beginning of a series, I give you what is the main idea, the big thought, if you will, or the central theme to a series, and I waited to the very end for this one, and here it is. If you've missed a few of them, you can catch up. In fact, I'll review a little bit here with you in just a second, but here is the foundation of what the series is all about. See, God is exposed in our turmoil when we trust Him. It's when you face a situation or circumstance in your life, whether it's relational or whether it's your health or whether it's something to do with your finances or family or extended family, whatever it might be, whenever you trust God in those situations, what happens is God is exposed, the truth of God is exposed, and who God is exposed, and God comes to the surface, and all of a sudden you begin to realize that God is there, He's relevant. He's the source of strength. He's the help. This series has really been about God because we have wanted for God to be exposed as we trust Him. So we've been saying throughout these 8 weeks, this being the ninth week, and we finished this series, next week start a brand new series with you, we've said that our God strengthens us as we wait. And some of us are still waiting. We're waiting for answers as we've been praying and asking God to work in our lives or maybe work in our kids' lives or working in a friend's life as we've been praying. He strengthens us as we wait. We heard the second week that our God loves us endlessly. There's something about knowing that God loves you and that it's endless. In fact, I'll mention a little bit of that today as we conclude this series. Our God remains the same. One of our pastors, Dave Ringheiser, talked to us about his story and how God remains the same. He's the same, help me out, yesterday, today, and forever. He remains the same. Hebrews tells us that. We learned that our God heals the wounded soul, some of the things that happen on the inside that maybe nobody else knows about, or maybe just one or two people around you know. It's one of those things where it's so deep in your soul that really you can't share it or you don't want to share it. And only a few people maybe know this wound that's inside, and our God can heal that wound. We looked at that and talked about that as I spent some time in Bungalow. Our God separates us from our sin. We talked about the power of that. Nothing like being forgiven, right? Right, church? Nothing like being forgiven. It's amazing. Our God separates. Our God gives us peace. Paul talked to us about how we can experience peace in situations and circumstances. Peace that may not be even understandable in our lives. We talked about how our God supports us through community. Ish talked about community and the importance of community and what being together or being a small group or being part of a church is, because it strengthens us and supports us. And then last week, Jared talked to us about how our God restores the weary. And if you're weary and you're tired, we can find restoration and strength. And that's just absolutely amazing. Well, this week, we have one more story to share, but it's not a story from one of the staff members. It's not my story. It actually happens to be a story of one of our former staff members' sister. Her name is Lori Jones. Her husband is Mark. They have three kids in our congregation, Claire and John Mark and Jude. And their story is an amazing story. They moved from the South to come up here to be closer to family because they were going through this situation and turmoil in their life. And when I heard this story, I thought, we've got to share this. It's an amazing, amazing story. And out of this story, we'll take some principles and look into God's Word and see that you and I can have the same kind of hope in our life that they have, fearlessness in our lives as they do. Here is the story of Lori and Mark Jones. Watch this.
I'm 33. I love Jesus, my husband, my kids. We have a mission statement. We will be fearless and full of adventure as a family. I didn't plan on being told that I had an incurable form of cancer, that it had spread to my bones and then to my brain. And at first, I didn't even believe it. Those first 24 hours after we got the news were hard. So, so hard. You feel confused, numb, and overwhelmingly sad. How much of my children's lives am I going to miss? How do we tell them that mommy might die? How can I leave my husband alone to raise them? How can God possibly bring any good from this? It feels surreal, like this can't be your life. Mark and I prayed, and we were amazed how quickly we felt it. Peace. Existing right in the middle of the sadness and confusion, like the calm in the eye of a storm. Those are more than just words to me now. I'm living them. I have no idea how I can feel peace in the midst of this, but I do. We do. We've talked to specialists, I've had treatments, and we pray for healing, for a miracle. We know God can do that. We have hope that He will. We also know that He may choose not to. And we have to trust that God knows what He's doing. I have to trust that He loves my husband and my kids even more than I do, and that He has a plan. When something like this happens, it uproots everything about the life you knew. But it also allows you to focus on the most important things. Mark and I are united on a level we've never known before. I lean on his strength and fierce love for our family. And I feel closer to God now than I ever have. I know that He can give our kids the same peace He's given us. It's still not easy. Some days are very hard. But I understand now that we're not meant to love this life. We're meant to long for something even better. If God heals me, I will praise Him. And if He chooses not to, I'll praise Him as He takes me home. And in the meantime, we will be fearless and full of adventure as a family.
You almost need a minute, don't you? I want to steal that life's message. What a mission statement for their lives. Fearless and full of adventure. Mark and Lori, they are in the 9 o'clock service, and so they're not part of this service, but I just want you to give them a clapping ovation just so that they know that you support them as a church family. So because of their story, I want to ask two questions and look into Scripture to find the answer. And what you'll find in Scripture is that their mission statement for their life is right out of Scripture. To be fearless and full of adventure is something that we find right in the Bible. It's no wonder that this is their mission statement. And the truth is, they could better speak this message probably than I could, because they're going through this right now in their lives. And every principle that we'll talk about today and how you and I can experience being fearless and full of adventure in our lives, no matter what you face, when you face it, we can find it right here. And Mark and Lori are living that out in their lives right now, fearless and full of adventure. I want to ask two questions today. Here's question number one. There's a short answer, of course, to this question, and then there's a long answer. Here's the question. Should turmoil ruin my life? So the situation or a circumstance that you didn't expect in your life, should that ruin your life? Now, there's a short answer, and I think all of us know the short answer. So let's say the short answer together, and all of our campuses right here in Springboro, Northmont. Should, turmoil in your life, should a situation ruin your life? The answer, church, is what? Absolutely no. That's the short answer. The problem is, that's so hard to live out, and how do we live that out in a way that makes sense? There is a longer answer, and that answer is found in Romans, actually. So I hope you have a Bible with you or some device in all of our campuses, and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. It's in the New Testament. It's kind of, about one-third way into the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. It's right there, Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be reading portions of this chapter, but the one verse I want to focus on is in verse 37. So go right to verse 37, Romans 8, verse 37, and then out of verse 37, we'll jump back up to verse 1, and we'll kind of skim through and skim read through chapter 8, and we'll see in chapter 8 the principles that you and I can find and how to live out our lives fearlessly and full of adventure. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, because this is really the big idea that Paul is getting through and driving at the entire chapter long, starting with verse 1. He gets all the way down to verse 37, and he answers the question, should turmoil ruin your life? Church, it says this in verse 37, no. There's a comma there, but you almost want an exclamation point. No. In fact, in all these things, that is, your situations, your circumstance, whatever your turmoil might be or will be or has been, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him, Jesus, who loved us. Would you underline or highlight in your Bibles, more than conquerors? I was raised in the church, and I've heard this verse a million times. And whether you've been raised in the church or whether today is your very first day here in Centerville or Springboro or Northmont, my guess is that you've heard a version of some kind of this verse, more than conquerors, or overcoming in our lives. By raised hand, how many of you have heard a version of this verse at some point in your life? Let me just see your hands. Raise them up high. Okay, many of us have heard this verse. A lot of us. more than conquerors. Do you know that I was raised in the church, and for decades and decades, I really didn't understand this verse. The reality is, when I look at this verse as a guy, and you men, you'll connect with me on this, when I see more than conquerors, how is that possible? You either conquer or you don't, right? I mean, how are you more than a conqueror? And the problem is, we look at the word conquer there in our human experience. So as a guy, let me just tell you, I think most of the men get it here because every day when we get up, that's kind of what our mission statement is as a guy. We go out to conquer. We go out to, you know, get things, and we go out to earn a living, and we go out to do things and to prepare for our family or ourselves or extended family or whatever it might be. See, humanly, how is it possible to be more than a conqueror? There must be something much deeper. And I discovered about a decade ago, or two decades ago rather, in my life, that there is something deeper here that Paul really wants to try to communicate. But first, let me start with the human side of things, because as a man, especially us guys, we understand this. You see, to conquer is to win. So humanly, we think of conquering as winning. Like when you win at a sport, you conquer the other guy or the other team or whatever it might be. You know, when you are doing something in your life, conquering means to win. So if you get that contract, or if you win that bid, or, you know, if you're the one, you win, and to conquer means to win on the human side of things. Secondly, to conquer is to get your way, right? Humanly speaking, when you and I get our way, we've conquered the people around us, humanly speaking. So when you conquer something, in some ways, it's getting your way. And the danger here is that on a human side, it slips into our spiritual life, and we want to get our way even with God. Is that true, church? And so we have to come to some understanding here that we are more than conquerors. Conquering, thirdly, to conquer is to be better than others. If we're all honest and we're truthful, one of the ways that we can conquer in life is to be better than others. On the human level, we work to be better at others. There's nothing wrong with working to be good and better in your life, but oftentimes conquering means to be better than others. Fourthly, to conquer is to get out of a situation. So you can conquer a situation if you can get out of it, if you can remove yourself from the situation, if you can get out of the circumstance, if you can get out of the turmoil, it's much better than to go through it, right? No. That's why the Bible says, we are more than conquerors. There's got to be something deeper here. There's got to be something that's more spiritual than our human side. In fact, there is. You see, to be more than a conqueror is to be fearless. See, I think Lori got it right. To be fearless and full of adventure. To be more than a conqueror is to understand that we don't have to win. And when you don't win, that doesn't mean you lost. To be more than a conqueror means that you don't have to get your way. And if you don't get your way, it doesn't mean you've lost your way. To be more than a conqueror means that you don't have to be better than others. What God wants to do is make a better you in your life. To be more than a conqueror is not to get out of a situation. It's that God will take you, watch this, God will take you through it. That's more. See, he has something more for us here. In fact, let me put it another way. To be more than a conqueror is to be fearless, and fearless means that your trust is greater than your fear. Because when we use the word fearless, I think all of us know, it doesn't matter if you're in sixth grade or if you're 80 years old or older, we all know that there's no possibility for us to live without fear, to completely live without fear. So how do we live fearlessly? Here's how. When your trust is more than your fear. That's how we live fearlessly in life. And we learn this lesson here through Romans chapter 8, and we learn it through watching the story of Mark and Lori in their lives. It's absolutely amazing. But here's the second question that I want to ask. The first question is, should turmoil in my life destroy me? No. Because we are more than conquerors. So here's the second question. And the second question is it possible for me to be fearless? Is it possible for you to be fearless in your life? How many of you would love to have the faith that Lori and Mark have in their lives? It's incredible when you watch their story. And it's not just a story. That's how they're living. They're living with the mission statement that they want to be fearless and full of adventure in their life. Is that possible? And maybe another question is, how is that possible? Well, I'm going to give you five ways as we read Romans chapter 8 to experience being fearless in life. And at the very end here, we're going to make a declaration to God as we close out the series, as we're finding truth in the middle of turmoil. How is it possible for me and for you to be fearless in our lives? Number one, fearless is loving Jesus more than loving life itself. Being fearless means that you love Jesus more than your own life, and that is really difficult to do, but it starts in Romans chapter 8. Go all the way back up to verse 1. We'll get back to verse 37 in a minute, but jump all the way up to verse 1, Romans chapter 8. Hopefully your devices are right there, your Bible's right there. It says this, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. In other words, because of Jesus Christ, you can be free. You can't work hard enough to become right in the eyes of God. It only happens through Jesus Christ. And so when you get to the place of understanding that there's a broken relationship between you and God, and you realize that the only way to repair that relationship is not to try harder, but it's to submit to Jesus Christ who died for you, and in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it says here in Romans chapter 1, or 8, verse 1 rather, it says in here that you are then made right with God. You then have no condemnation. There's no guilt, there's no shame, you are completely forgiven. That's amazing. So it starts there. And then he goes on in verses 3 and below, and begins to talk about how this is played out in real life. And he uses these words like spirit and flesh. So in your Bibles, as we read this, let me just kind of frame our thinking here as we're going to be reading these verses. When you read the word spirit, think of Jesus, think of God, loving God. And when you read the words flesh, think of your own life. If you love your life more than you love Jesus, Paul tells us this is what it will look like. But if you love Jesus more than your life, this is what it will look like. So in verse 5, it says that if you love your life more than Jesus, then you will be after the desires of your heart and whatever it is that you want. In other words, you want to win, and you want to get your way, and you want to get out of a situation, and you want to be better than others. If you love your life. In verse 5, it says, however, if you love Jesus, you'll do what Jesus desires, and you'll trust him, and you'll let him give you strength, and you'll follow him, and you'll do what pleases him. In verse 6, it says that if you love your life, it's death, or in other words, it's a dead end. If your life is all about you and your life, and you love your life more than Jesus, that's a dead end. However, in verse 6, if you love Jesus, you will experience life. Not only that, you'll have peace. See that in verse 6? You'll have life and peace. Goes on in verse 7, and it says that if you love your life more than you love Jesus, then you will be hostile to God. In other words, you can't do both. You have to love Jesus more than your own life. In fact, it says in verse 8 that if you love your own life, you can't please God. In verse 10, it says, if Christ is in you, even then your body is subject to death because of sin. That's a fancy way of saying we live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. Church, is that right? Stuff happens. So how do we deal with it? How can we be more than conquerors? Drop down to verse 15. It says, the Spirit, or Jesus, God, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. The Holy Spirit in you, because of Jesus, in this relationship that you have with God, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. You might want to underline that. You don't have to live in fear. But rather, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. In other words, you are a son or a daughter of the King. And when you're a son or a daughter of the King, you need to realize that one of the ways to be fearless is to love Jesus more than your life. Here's the paradox. Don't miss this. Here's the paradox. When you love Jesus more than your own life and you live for Jesus, He gives you life. So you can be facing a terminal cancer and have life, like Lori and Mark. Does that make sense, church? See, fearlessness is loving Jesus more than life. That's how you and I become fearless, to make sure that we love Jesus more than our own lives. And He gives us life right back. Here's a second way. Being fearless is seeing suffering differently. See, when you are a fearless person, you see suffering, you see pain, you see it very differently. And here's how you see it differently. You're disappointed, but you're not devastated. So when you hear the news, or when you didn't get the job, or when you had the miscarriage, or when you experienced that relationship, all those things in your life. See, to be fearless means that you see suffering differently. Disappointed, but you're not devastated. Church, that's a big difference, don't you think? See, so often we look at our troubles and it just devastates us. And yet when you and I belong to Jesus, and when we love Jesus more than our own lives, that's the starting place, then we see suffering very, very differently. We can be disappointed. Nothing wrong with being disappointed. Kathy and I have experienced all kinds of disappointments in our lives, and yet we've tried through Jesus to understand that it doesn't have to devastate us. It doesn't have to devastate you. Here's the problem. In our Western mindset, we think that comfort is the blessing of God. Stay with me. Watch this. That comfort means God is blessing you. And that is true. When you experience comfort, when your life is going great, that is the blessing of God. Here's the problem. In our Western mindset, we think the opposite is also true. That when we're experiencing suffering, that is not the blessing of God. That is not true. Did you hear that? Blessing or comfort is the blessing of God. But don't draw the opposite conclusion to see that suffering or pain in your life is not the blessing of God. God can bless you in your pain and in your suffering. Look at verse 17. He says something that's a little bit hard to understand, and I'll kind of flesh it out with you and tease it out a little bit. It says this, verse 17, "Now if we are children," if we're sons and daughters, we're children, "if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-workers with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." Verse 18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." And then he goes on in chapter 8 to talk about how, giving birth is similar to when you and I wait, you know, and we're dealing with situations and circumstances and we're waiting to get to the other side and we're waiting to get through it. It's like giving birth to a baby. That's the illustration or the metaphor that he uses in there. There's a lot of words here that's kind of hard to understand. Let me boil it down for you and make it simple. Here's what Paul is saying in these verses. Number one, when he's talking about suffering, number one, he's saying that when you suffer, understand this is not all there is. This is not all there is. And that's a great place to start. Secondly, Paul is saying here that suffering makes perfection even better. That when you suffer, and you think of what life could be like, see, it makes perfection even better. And thirdly, suffering shapes us and makes us better. Church, that is not a popular message. I got to be honest with you and tell you, that is not a popular message to say that suffering shapes you. None of us like suffering and pain. No one here, myself included. But when you read Romans chapter 8, you discover that if you're going to be fearless and you want to be more than a conqueror, you and I see suffering very differently than the world around us. We can be disappointed, but we are not devastated. That's what it means to be fearless. Here's the third one. See, fearless is admitting weakness and experiencing strength from God. How many of you would admit that Lori and Mark, that when you hear their story, you see the strength of God in their lives? How many of you would see that? Right? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it tells us right here in verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Ever been in a place in your life where you were in pain and you didn't even know what to say to God, and it was almost like you didn't know even how to put it into words, and you didn't even know how to pray? In fact, you didn't even want to pray. This is what he's describing right here. He's saying, it's okay, because the Holy Spirit will groan for you. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. Verse 27, He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Let me boil that down for you. Let me give you a word picture. What Paul is saying here is this. When you get to the place in your life when you realize that you need God's strength in your life, you need to realize that His arm is already out. Just grab it. I remember when my sons were little boys, and we were teaching them to swim, and really the best way to learn how to swim is to just get in the water, right? And so we'd take our boys and just throw them in the water there, right, you know, like 2 feet away from us, and they would bobble up to the top and look at us like, are you crazy? Because we just threw them in the pool. And they would look at me with this look of terror, and then they would dog paddle as fast as they can. They'd say, Daddy, help me. And I'd reach out my arm and grab him and pull him up. And then they would say, well, that was fun. Let's do that again. So I'd take him and push him back in the pool again. And they would swim as much as they could, and they learned how to swim that way. I remember when they would get on their bikes and they would fall off, they would say, Daddy, help me. And I'd reach out my hand. It wasn't until they grabbed my hand that they experienced the strength of their father. So often, when we face situations and circumstances in our lives, you know what we do? We wait to the very end till we're just completely out of energy and strength. And we wait to the very end and, God, please help me. And you don't have to wait to the end. See, fearless people admit that they're weak and they grab a hold of the hand of God. Because fearlessness means that we admit weakness and experience strength through God. Here's number four. Fearless is knowing that we will be tempted to blame God. When you and I deal with situations in our lives, we will be tempted to blame God. Romans tells us that. Look at verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Verse 28 has two words that are really, really important, and you want to underline these two words, because without these two words, the whole verse changes. And in fact, it's these two words, catch this, church, it's these two words that the enemy wants to remove from your mind or from the Bible or from your memory so that you don't read the verse this way. It says this, in all things God works for the good. In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, God can work good out of it. The verse doesn't say, in all things God works good. Because when you're going through turmoil, here's what I know, because I know it in my life. It's not good. But because God is good, He works for the good. See that? But the enemy right here wants to remove those two words. And when you begin to see, and you begin to get disappointed, you begin to blame. Fearless people know that we'll be tempted to blame God when we go through situations and circumstances. And then lastly, fearlessness is trusting that God will always love us. Always, always love us. It says in verse 31, what then shall we say in response to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he goes on to say in verse 38, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything at all in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, God is not mad at you. That's what these verses are saying. God is not mad at you. Those are good words to hear. See, when you want to be fearless, you can trust that God will always love us. That there's nothing that you and I can do that will take us away from the love of God. That's what fearless people know in their lives. See, our God wants us to be fearless and full of adventure. I'm going to invite you right now, because again, this is an all skate. Whether you're going through something right now, or whether you will be going through something, or whether you have gone through something, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These principles will work for any one of us to be fearless and full of adventure. I'm going to invite you and all of our campuses right now just to bow your heads and just to close your eyes and assume that you're the only person in any of the rooms in any one of our campuses. And today, as we close out this series, let's make a declaration that no matter what happens in your life today or tomorrow or yesterday, let's declare that we want to be fearless and full of adventure. And if today you want to make that declaration to God, whether you're in sixth grade or whether you're 90 or older or anywhere in between, if you would just slip up your hand to God today and say, I declare that I want to be fearless and I want to be full of adventure, would you raise your hand all over the place with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? This is between you and God. I will be fearless and I will be full of adventure, that I might be more than a conqueror in my life. Just raise your hand up to God right now and make that declaration. So that as you're going through something right now in your life, or whether it's your son or your daughter, or situation that you're in right now, or whether you might be going through something, you can make that declaration. And as we close out this series, what a great way to end, by declaring that I will be fearless and I will be full of adventure. God, we pray with our hands raised to you, that you would see our hearts as we make this declaration, that we would live out the fact that we want to love you more than life itself, that we want to live out these principles that we have heard and understood today in Romans chapter 8. Father, we pray for Mark and Lori that you would give them a miracle, that you would heal them. And we pray for all the requests that we have here in all of these campuses. Father, there are people, I'm sure, that have needs and question marks and kids and grandkids and singleness. We pray, God, that you would hear our declaration that we will be fearless, that we will be more than conquerors, and we will be full of adventure. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.